You mention that Kennedy's style added to his image or brand, as you put it in your book, and that part of that style involved many things, including his open support of the arts and what you call the orchestrated entertainments of the White House dinners he and Jackie hosted. You're speaking right now to an audience of classical music listeners and arts lovers, so could you talk a little bit in broad strokes about Kennedy's support of the arts, what kind of energy he really put behind the arts, and what his legacy of supporting the arts has amounted to in our day?
Of course, he created a Presidential Medal in honor of achievement in the arts and in literature. He had major events in the White House, state dinners in particular, where he had provided entertainment of a grand scale. Some of it was, you know, Broadway show tunes and so on, but a lot of it was classical art as well. And he featured that, in fact, quite prominently. And he himself was not a great connoisseur of the arts. He liked history and he liked architecture. He knew something about both. His wife was really the inspiration here for these entertainments, but he understood the political significance of supporting the arts. And he also appreciated the fact that, or he thought he understood, that great art could only be produced in democracies. So he was anxious to make these points repeatedly in his official rhetoric, and then to display as much on the White House stage. Their entertainments in the White House always had a purpose, to showcase American life and American excellence in American life and so on, and to impress upon foreign leaders that the United States was now a world leader, and it deserved to be so because it was itself a civilized country and leader of the civilized world.
Over the course of your book, you make repeated reference to the person JFK played on camera and on television, and to the performances the Kennedys gave and the image of youthfulness, vigor, and power those performances conveyed. In arguing overall, I guess, that the Kennedys and those most loyal to them engineered and rolled out this idealized version of themselves, are you also suggesting, kind of on the other side of the coin, that there was something not just superficial but actually disingenuous about this outward-facing brand, or perhaps better phrased, how did the Kennedys' private realities as people really differ from their public images?
There was a side of Camelot, a private side to Kennedy and his wife, that they tried very hard to conceal from the public. So that's why I refer to the President and First Lady as really actors. They played the part of President and First Lady on a White House stage. But behind the scenes, you might say, backstage at the White House, there was often a very different Kennedy, a Kennedy that was concealed, and as opposed to the Kennedy that was revealed. And that continues to this day. The emphasis is always on the positive and very little on the negative.
You also make the point in various ways that President Kennedy was quite adept at selecting special locations as sort of theatrical sets for state events. For instance, the state dinner honoring the president of Pakistan, which began with the guests floating down the Potomac River to George Washington's Mount Vernon estate for dinner, followed by a concert of classical music performed by the National Symphony Orchestra. What else from your researches can you tell us about that particular concert?
It was, of course, very expensive and somewhat criticized for that reason, but mostly it was just perfect for the Kennedys. It accomplished just what they wanted to accomplish. They had, of course, they had constructed a whole acoustical stage so that the National Symphony Orchestra could play. They were entertained at tents on the front lawn of the White House, and the tents were decorated with hanging chandeliers, all kinds of flowers selected by Kennedy's friend, who was an expert in interior floral and exterior floral design. That was Bunny Mellon. He had a French chef serving exquisite French dinner. They had a full gun salute by the American Army. In the case of the dinner for the President of Pakistan, it was intended to convince him that the United States had once been a revolutionary country, just like Pakistan, and that Pakistan could be the same way, evolve from revolution through democracy, if it followed the American example.
You, throughout your book, use some pretty highly theatrical rhetoric to describe the Kennedys in action, both before and after JFK's assassination. If there were a true drama in the Kennedy presidency or related to the Kennedy presidency, it would probably be his assassination and the state funeral, JFK's state funeral. You write that that funeral, which was orchestrated down to the last detail by Jackie Kennedy and, of course, others, did much to, as you put it, create a living memory, basically an afterlife for the former president that has lasted now more than half a century. Connected to the imagery from that state funeral is that iconic moment where John F. Kennedy Jr. steps forward and salutes his father's coffin as it passes by. How did this state funeral accomplish helping to create this afterlife of JFK?
The funeral, she did orchestrate almost every bit of it, every little detail, right down to, she actually wrote the mass cards. She designated all the flowers that would be used in the White House or at the gravesite or at St. Matthew's Cathedral for the funeral. There was nothing that was too small to be ignored by her, every detail. And she did, in the process, create these iconic images, such as the one you mentioned, where she has her young son step forward and ask him to say goodbye to his father, and he does a salute. Or when she walks in the procession, very, very, very dramatic moment there, wearing all black, including a long black veil, pacing, stepping bravely, chin up, forward. And in that process, conveying to people, and the press picked up on this immediately. In fact, I think the press understood that she was orchestrating the entire thing. They didn't care. They thought it was magnificent. And her performance was magnificent and inspiring. People thought of her as strong and full of dignity and bearing up to her responsibilities despite the grief that she carried. And all of that is true, but it was also a calculated performance and designed to call forward in her own behavior the kind of virtues that she associated and wanted Americans to associate with her slain husband. And I think the scenes from the funeral, those iconic scenes, and the scenes from the gravesite when she lit the eternal flame, all come to mind. I call them flashbulb memories. They just get burned into the brain. It's impossible to get rid of them. Why people can write book after book after book about what they were doing the day Kennedy was shot. They'll never forget it. And there aren't too many events like that in American history, and none of the scale of Kennedy's assassination and funeral.